Welcome to the Forward Church Podcast. We're so glad you joined us today. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast to stay up to date with our latest episodes. Now let's get ready to dive into today's message. We know you'll be blessed.
Man, praise God. Can we go ahead and give God one more hand clap of praise in the house? Hallelujah. Somebody say, God's good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. You know, it's awesome to be in First Wednesday. All the generations, man, I love our Forward students and our Forward kids in here with us for First Wednesday. Can we give them up? Just give them a round of applause. The two students opening up in Scripture tonight. Awesome job, guys. Wave your hand at me. Yeah, I see y'all. Awesome job. Stella P. Where's Stella P? There she is. Awesome job. Knocked it out of the park with a prayer. Yeah. Great job. Guys, tonight is going to be different. I'm gonna pray in just a moment and lead us into what we're talking about. But here's what I'm just going to throw out a disclaimer. If you came to hear preaching tonight, I hope you're not going to be disappointed. But it's not going to be much of a preaching message tonight. I've just got some things that I need to release to this congregation. And I thought that First Wednesday would be a great night to do that because of the generations that we have in here. I am going to get to some preaching later in the sermon, the message, whatever you want to. Later in my notes, I have some scripture. And so we'll get into some scripture later on. But I want to pray. I just want to ask God's blessing tonight. I'll set it up a little bit more. Many of y'all are confused right now, and I hope I don't confuse you anymore before the night's over. But you'll know what we're diving into in just a moment. But if you will, let's just go, Lord, in prayer, and let's just ask God's blessing over this night. Will you pray with me? God, I love you, and I thank you, God, for this opportunity that we have to just come into your presence and worship you on a midweek, on a Wednesday night. I thank you for the generations that's represented in this room right now. I just pray, God, that you would continue to captivate our hearts and our minds, God. God, that, Lord Jesus, everything that's said and everything that's done tonight, God, we wanted to bring glory and honor to your name. And, Lord, we'll be quick to give you all the praise, all the honor for everything that's accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can y'all give me just a little bit more out there if you don't mind? Listen, I'm excited because I get to share some things that's been on my heart for a while now. Many of y'all know that February 26th and 27th, I went on a trip called Operation Border Blessing with the National Faith Advisory Board. And this was a trip to the southern border in El Paso, Texas. And I went to El Paso. I got to go and tour the southern border in New Mexico. And this was a huge opportunity. The guy that was heading up the tour, he told the group of pastors that I was with, he said, y'all are going to be given a graduate level course on border patrol, border security, and all of that within 24 hours. And I'm just going to be honest with you, coming off of that trip, I flew out of Mobile 7 o'clock on a Monday morning. I flew back into Mobile at 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night. And it was just jam-packed full of just, it blew my mind. My brain felt like mush when I come back home. And so it's taken me a while to really sit down and really process everything that I witnessed, everything that was told to me, everything that I saw. So I really want to that's my heart tonight. My heart is to communicate to a captive audience, right? Some things that I witnessed. You're not going to go anywhere. At least you're free to get up and leave whenever you want to. Some of you might walk out during the middle of this, but that's okay. Because I feel like this is not only something that I need to do, I feel like it's something that God would have me to do. And I want to say this, and then I'll get into my notes. Because one of the major reasons why I feel such a heart to do this and why I feel like God would have me to do this is because I don't want my two boys, listen to me, to grow up and experience the same things and the same issues we're facing in our nation right now. And if anybody's going to make a difference, and if anybody's going to change, if anybody can be a voice crying out, it can be God's church. It can be God's people. Amen. And I'm just going to go ahead and preach a little bit. We need to be a voice that's standing up and speaking out. We don't need to be quiet about current issues. If anybody needs to be changing culture and influencing culture, it needs to be God's people. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So the Natural Faith Advisory Board does about two to four trips a year called Operation Border Blessing. They take about 15 to 20 pastors. So what is the National Faith Advisory Board? The National Faith Advisory Board is really a coalition of faith leaders that was established during President Trump's era, during his administration. You see a picture right here. Jensen Franklin. How many of y'all know Jensen Franklin? I love him. He's part of the National Faith Advisory Board. Pastor Paula White Kane is on the National Faith Advisory Board. Men and women of faith that's just, speaking up and speaking out about current issues. And here's the thing. This is a welcome letter straight from the National Faith Advisory Board website, just to give you a little bit of information about who these guys are. It says, "Dear faith leaders, we accomplished so much together at the White House during the Trump administration as we fought for people of faith every day. And with your help, we built a unique coalition of faith leaders, some who had been very involved, but many who had become involved for the first time. And through tens of thousands of you, we reach millions of people of faith. This is actually the largest, the National Faith Advisory Board is the largest faith organization right now established in the United States to help influence policy for the good, for God's church. So through the National Faith Advisory Board, we will continue our mission to work with you as a team to advocate for the most important issues to all of us with one strong voice." I was listening to a speech by Paula Kane, Paula White, on the Facebook page for the National Faith Advisory Board. She's like, "We've got people from all different denominations. We've got people from the Church of God, Assemblies of God background that's teaching people how to speak in tongues, and we've got people from the Baptist and Methodist organization that's writing exegesis about why we shouldn't speak in tongues." But everybody's coming together with one voice for Jesus Christ. Even though there's theologically some differences there, they're uniting together under the banner of Jesus Christ to help influence policies in our nation for the good of the God's church. It says this: "We will protect our religious freedoms here and abroad in order to worship and live according to our faith. We will provide you with regular policy updates, advocate for critical policy issues, host regular conference calls and events with prominent leaders, and continue to grow this vital coalition. Our country is at a critical crossroads, and we need your help to continue our efforts. Blessings, the National Faith Advisory Board team." That sums up what their heart is. That sums up what this team is about. That sums up what this ministry is about. And so really the purpose of this Border Blessing tour that I went on was really threefold. Number one, to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to migrants. We actually preached the gospel to these migrants. This was a group, let me speak to this really quick before y'all scroll to the next one. This was a group of about 40 to 50 illegal immigrants that had crossed the border, went through the processing center of in El Paso, Texas, and was taken. This was actually a small Church of God in El Paso, Texas, that would house these migrants, feed these migrants, and preach the gospel to these migrants, a new group every day. Every day. And they've been doing this for the past 3 years. For the past 3 years. A group of 40 to 50 migrants sleeping in their church, eating three meals, having a church service at night, and they're seeing multiple lives saved through these migrants. So preach the gospel, number one. Number two, minister to the Border Patrol agents. And number three, to be a voice for those who cannot speak out. And what I mean by that, because the Border Patrol is an apolitical group. There's policies in place that prevents them from saying certain things and speaking out about certain topics because for the the risk of losing their job. They cannot speak out to certain issues because they are supposed to be an apolitical group. So here's a quick breakdown of my experience. Night number one, we had a dinner with the chief of Border Patrol from El Paso, Texas. El Paso, Texas is one of the largest, it covers one of the largest linear miles of southern border that the United States has. And this is him. His name is Chief Good. So I told him that we would tell everybody that we have a good man leading the charge of the southern border in El Paso. But that's his name, Chief Good. So he's the chief of Border Patrol. He was actually instated March 2023 by the U.S. Border Patrol. El Paso includes parts of West Texas and all of New Mexico. He was previously served as sector chief in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And in, he was in 22 years with the federal government. He has served at the northern and southern borders and the Border Patrol headquarters in Washington, D.C. So this man is a well-qualified. I said all that because he knows what he's talking about. And we got to sit down for an hour and ask this man questions and talk to him. And he gave us information about what's going on the southern border. Mind you, border security on the southern border is the number one top concern right now that we're facing in America. Every poll that's been taken by every voting poll when it comes to what is the top concern of Americans right now, it's the security of our southern border. So these are some of the topics he covered in the conversation with us. He said one major threat that currently that we're dealing with in America right now is a Venezuelan gang, and I can't name the Spanish term, but he called them TDA. TDA. And this is what you need to know. He said these people, they have something to do with the number 23. He said it's crazy. It's something to do with the number 23, and they love to wear Michael Jordan apparel because it has the number 23 on it. And he said, so any illegal immigrants that they see coming across the border right now wearing any type of Michael Jordan apparel or with the number 23, that's automatic red flag. And they're starting to take them. They love to do that. And this is, I've done a little bit of my own research. This is an excerpt from an article online. This is from February the 18th, 2024. It says, a wave of cell phone thefts caused by Venezuelan immigrants in New York City has set off all the alarms. The fearsome Trinidad TDA, one of the fastest growing criminal organizations in the world. You want me to say that again? One of the fastest growing criminal organizations in the world. We're talking about organized crime here. I'm fixing to get into some very specific things. And this is why we need to be aware. The church needs to be aware. We don't need to have our head in the sand when it comes to these things any longer. Number one, we need to be praying about these issues. Number two, we need to be speaking about these issues and talking about these issues and bringing awareness about these issues. One of the fastest growing criminal organizations in the world could be recruiting migrants or extending its tentacles to the streets of the Big Apple, New York City, to carry out its illicit operations in the United States. That's what's happening. Confirmed by Chief Good, that's what's happening. Because they can only report on things that they know. They can't report on things they don't know. They can only report on the known, not the unknown. The unknown is what's so scary, really it is. And I'm not trying to scare people tonight, but I'm trying to bring awareness. A spokeswoman for the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, as we know them, raise your hand, wave your hand if you've heard ICE, confirmed to this media outlet in an email that two Venezuelan immigrants detained and charged in the United States for attacking two New York police officers are members of this TDA gang. As a matter of fact, if you heard on the news here just a few weeks ago, the young lady that was killed in Athens, Georgia, also connect the ones that's supposedly involved in that's connected to this Venezuelan gang, TDA. He stated that everything was this the chief that we were talking to, we asked him, speak to these issues. He told us one of the biggest issues that they are facing right now is with the current policies that's in place. He said he feels like their hands are tied with the current policies. He said they are experiencing all of this frustration and all of these things that they wish they could do, but they can't do because of the policy restrictions that they have to abide by. He stated that everything was working great with the previous policies, but with recent changes in the past 3 years, everything has gotten much worse for many reasons. And here's a few of those reasons. Number one, when these illegal immigrants go through a processing center, and I'm about to talk about this processing center in a minute, they get to choose where they go. They don't get told where to go. They get asked, where do you want to go? Some of them will say New York. Some of them will say Chicago. Some of them will say San Francisco. Some of them will say Portland, Oregon. The young man or many of the people that were allegedly involved in the murder of the young woman in Athens, Georgia, when they were processed or when they were arrested and everything went through the process, they were supposed to be in New York. That's where they said they were going. How many of y'all know they're not going where they say they're going? Mexicans are claiming fear, and really these are your big groups coming through. Mexicans, Guatemalans, and Venezuelans. That's your big three groups that's coming through right now. And they're claiming asylum. And many of y'all know, I'm not trying to give you a lesson in all of this politics and all this tonight. But many of y'all know, if you're claiming asylum, you're supposed to claim asylum in the first nation that you, or the first border that you come to. Which if you're coming from Venezuela, if you're coming from Guatemala, the first border you're coming to is where? Mexico. But that's not happening. They're coming through Mexico and they're coming all the way into America because that's what the end goal is to get into America. The only way they have to send these, the ones that they can send back, the ones that they can deport, they've been given access to one flight a day out of the country. One flight can hold 135, but there's 1,000 estimated, and this is just known, there's 1,000 people a day crossing the border just in El Paso. Just in El Paso. That's what he knows. So you got 1,000 people a day coming in, and they only have the capacity to fly out 135 a day. Do the math. 1,000 people a day crossing. Here's also something that he told me. Smuggling cartels are profiting over $32 million a week for bringing illegal immigrants. In just to one stretch, 245 mile stretch of the border in El Paso and New Mexico. They're profiting $32 million a week, the cartels are. And what he said is this. The drug cartels and the smuggling, the human smuggling cartels used to work against one another because the smuggling cartels did not want to work where the drug cartel was because they knew that, or the drug cartels didn't want to work where the human smuggling operations were because they knew the Border Patrol would be there. But now what's happening is the Border Patrol is so understaffed, they're all working at a processing facility. You have nobody securing the border, so basically what's happening is the Border Patrol has signed up to work a job that they're not working. They're doing something else that they didn't sign up to do. They signed up to protect the border, and instead they're behind a computer processing illegals. 149 deaths from different things is what he's saying that he's witnessed and from jumping off from the top of the wall, because he said smugglers, what they don't have any care for human life. All they care about is this. And so what they'll do is they'll put ladders on the wall, and they'll force illegals up to the top of the wall. They'll remove the ladder, and they'll basically force them to jump off the other side so they can physically harm themselves, take up all the Border Patrol, because the Border Patrol agents are going to come to their rescue, come to their help, because they need medical attention, and then they can skiddy around where there's no patrol. And all these deaths are taking place because there's not enough agents, there's not enough to secure the border. And what Chief Good said is being done about this current crisis, and this is really what leads me to what we did on the next morning of the trip. We took a border visit to New Mexico, and we took a tour of the Immigrant Processing Center in El Paso, Texas. Now, I pulled this up. This is not a picture I took, but this is because here's the thing. They wouldn't let me take pictures in here. This is off limits to the press, off limits to the public. The guy told me, he said, it's best that you not even pull your cell phone out, because if you pull your cell phone out, they're going to think you're taking pictures, and you're probably going to get your cell phone confiscated. So guess where my cell phone stayed the whole time we were in here? In my pocket. I didn't take it out. But this is what's taking place. And I'm going to describe this center. 6 or 7 football fields wide, as far as the eyes can see. 6 or 7 football fields wide, as far as the eyes can see. These illegals are coming through here being processed with facial recognition, biometric identification. They're giving medical treatment. They're getting their laundry. They're washing their clothes. I walked into a facility about as big as this sanctuary with nothing but Samsung washers and dryers running. Some of them were sanitation dryers, meaning they get up to over like 200 degrees or something so they can sanitize their clothes. And they said that if their clothes are not salvageable, guess what they do? They give them new clothes. They go through medical, they go through laundry, they get 3 meals a day, all the snacks they want, and then they get put in pods of about 20 with TV and entertainment. Mind you, they got a building for single men, they got a building for single women, they got a building for families, and then they got a separate building for minors that came across the border unaccompanied. All separate, different pods. They have a recreation. I don't know if you can see the green between the two buildings. I wish I had a laser pointer. That's a big, it's basically probably as big as a football field of turf that they, recreation, get to go out, play, rec time. And what happens is it takes about 24 hours to process these illegals. The day I was there, there was about 3,000 at this one center. They said that they've had up to 7,000. This is one processing center of many. Now, you want to hear the craziest thing? No power, no running water, and no sewer. Everything has to be trucked in, and everything has to be trucked out. Everything is run with United Rental generators. $1.7 million a day is what it takes to run this one facility. Guess who's paying for that? Raise your hand if you pay taxes. We're paying for that. He said, what we're facing right now is a humanitarian crisis. It's a humanitarian crisis. He said, we have to fix the main issue and talk about the main issue. He says there needs to be credible fear between the ports of entry, because right now there is no credible fear between the ports of entry. Agents are struggling. And I want you to understand, these are real people with real problems and real families. I talked to Chief Good. He said, you know what? He said, these men and these women are under the most stress that they've ever been in their entire life. And guess what? They still got families. They still got hormonal teenagers to put up with when they go home. They still got financial issues. They still got little kids that's going through school and dealing with all the real things that you and I deal with, but yet they're being demon or demostracized or whatever you want to say it on news with all of these stories about what's happening. He said this, I asked him specifically. I said, the incident in Del Rio back in 2022 that was being reported about how the Border Patrol agent on the horse was whipping, misusing his authority or their authority with, I don't know what that is. He said, let me tell you something. He said, I don't know how that was reported on, because he said, he used this word. He said that was fake news. He said it was fake news. I said, what about the kids being torn apart from their families by the Border Patrol? He said, fake news. He said, there's 9 oversight committees that is appointed to making sure we abide by all the policies. We cross every T and we dot every I. And he said, they visit us every single week to make sure that we're doing what we're supposed to do. He said, there's no way that we can do that. There's no way we could get around that. He said, and why it's being reported on. Well, we know why it's being reported on. He said, there's horrific things that they are witnessing. And what they're trying to do right now is enhance the chaplaincy program, because with chaplains, Border Patrol, I actually got connected with a Border Patrol chaplain, got his number, and we're staying in contact with each other that was there, because they're trying to enhance access to psychologists and Border Patrol chaplains, because he said the suicide rate for Border Patrol agents has skyrocketed over the past 3 years. He said, because, and I asked him, I said, how many? One of the pastors, I believe, asked him, he said, how many? He said, it fluctuates. He said, it comes and goes in waves. But he told me, since like 2019, this is how many it's been, or since 2020, this is how many it's been. And I averaged it out, and it comes out to be about 10 a year. And that's just the ones in El Paso. That's just the ones that he's connected with, that he knows. Suicide, about 10 on average, 10 a year, because of the amount of pressure that they're facing and they're under right now. He says, smugglers don't care about human life, was a quote that I kept hearing over and over and over again. It says, they will force people up the wall to jump off so they can tie agents up when there are more injuries. He said this. He said, Fortnite video games is huge with smugglers getting kids. He said, if your kid plays Fortnite right now, he said, I would seriously consider. I would reconsider that. He said, because the human smuggling operation on Fortnite would blow your mind. Let that sink in. I'm going to close with this. I got 4 minutes to preach. If y'all don't believe these are desperate times that we're in, we need to rethink it. Here's my thing. I don't want this church to live in fear, but I don't want us to live ignorant either and live oblivious. I don't want us to have our heads in the sand, and I don't want us to be I want us to be sober-minded and aware of what's taking place in our world right now. And I want us to be engaged with what's taking place in our world right now. And so I want to give you some scripture tonight in closing. Here's the thing. I'm going to close with this story. And I saved this story for last, because when I heard this story, you ever been in a place where you hear a story and the Holy Spirit says, that'll preach? That'll preach? One of the stories that he told me, and I deliberately saved this for last, he said, as a matter of fact, he said, what's being told right now is so opposite of what of what they're telling you. He said these immigrants are running to the Border Patrol. He said they can't wait to get in the border, in the custody of the Border Patrol. He said, as a matter of fact, if they run from us, that is a huge red flag, because he said all it's going to take is 24 hours to get processed, and then they get everything handed to them, free housing, free meals, everything, and just get turned loose. So why wouldn't they want to? That's another story. But he said, so that basically they're running to the Border Patrol. They're running away from smugglers. They're running away from people that want to actually take their life, abuse them, mistreat them. I'm not getting into specifics, so don't worry about that, because I heard some horrific stories, okay, about these stash houses. But he said, here's what we started to do. We put up these safety beacons in the desert with flashing lights. And he said, we've got the word out to these immigrants that if they're in trouble, they can run to these safety beacons. And he said, there's a panic button on there. And all they have to do is hit that panic button. And he said, we're gonna get there as quick as humanly possible. Safety beacons. Lights in the desert. As soon as I heard it, I was like, that'll preach. Psalms 46 and 1 says this, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. I'm getting to my preaching part right now. It's almost time to end. Listen, I don't know what it is you're going through, but I know something. America is in trouble. Our nation is in trouble. But I'm going to tell you who our help is. Our help is the Lord. Our help is Jesus Christ. Our strength is Jesus Christ. Our refuge, our safe place, our retreat, the place we go to when we're afraid, when we're in trouble, in time of desperation. Where can I go? Where can I turn, Pastor? Where do I go if I'm in a situation tonight? I may not be in a life-threatening situation, but I'm in a situation where I need help. I'll tell you where you can go. The panic button is Jesus Christ. Because when all else fails, he will be the one that never fails. He will be the constant. He will be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be your firm foundation, the rock on which you stand. God is our strength, our power. And listen to me, not just for times of trouble, but in every season, in every circumstance of life. I want to give you this thought to think about tonight. So many times we run to Jesus when we're in trouble, right? I say, why not run to him every day? Why not go to him in every circumstance, in the good and in the bad? Celebrate the wins with him. Laugh with him. He's your friend. Listen to me. He's everything you need him to be. In this world we live in, we need safety and strength that are close by. Thankfully, God is also our ever-present helper, the one who cares enough to share his unlimited resources with us. And I'm going to tell you something. The God of the universe, the creator of everything, the one who loves you more than anything you could ever imagine. He's not some distant God a million miles away that you can't have a personal, intimate relationship with, but he is near to you. There's a scripture in Psalms that says that he draws near to those with a contrite spirit and those with a broken heart. And listen, I don't know what you're facing tonight. And you came maybe to hear me preach like I normally preach, to spit and holler and get that preaching vein popped out a little bit. And I'm sorry if I disappointed you. But here's the thing. The answer and the message is always the same. It comes in different packages. Thank you. I might have 100 different scriptures. But it's the same. the answer is the same. The answer is Jesus. I'm pointing people to Jesus. I'm pointing people to God. I'm pointing people to the only one that can get us through this life. He's always near. He's nearer to us than we are to ourselves, actually. He knows you better than you know you. Praise God. Amen. A little preacher over there. See, God's promise to his people is that he will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us, and I want you to understand this. He is for us. The enemy would have you believe that God is not for you. But I want you to understand that God's word teaches us that he is for you. God's word says, if he be for you, who can be against you? So at the end of the night, sharing all of these things that I've shared with you tonight. Listen, no matter who is in authority in this world, I have one thing that I know for sure, that there is one above every ruler, one above every man, one above every position. There is one God eternally existing in three persons. And he is always on the throne. No one can move him off of his throne. He is always going to be in authority. The worst part of that rescue beacon story is this. This is what Chief Good told us. That they sometimes, hear me. This ties into what I'm preaching. He told us that sometimes they would find immigrants only about a day's journey past the rescue beacons, and it would be too late. They would be dead. Because what would happen is the cartels figured out what was happening, and they would threaten them, and they would tell them not to. And listen to me, you have an enemy. Listen, right here. You have an enemy who's sitting there telling you. As a matter of fact, he's daring you. Don't do it. He's threatening you. He's threatening you. He's telling you, you better not push that button. You better not make that decision. You better not run to the light. Just keep it hid. Keep it in the dark. Stay in the desert. If you could just get to tomorrow. But see, what the Bible says is the enemy's job is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Because the last thing he wants you to do tonight is hit the panic button and sound the alarm and call on the name of Jesus. Pastor, what does this have to do with anything? 2 Corinthians 6:2 says this, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Listen, you'll never hit a spiritual panic button that God won't come running. It'll never happen. As a matter of fact, he's eager. He's always got a, he's here, he's waiting. He's waiting. He says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time. Here's what I'm asking you. Why would you put off for tomorrow what should be a now decision? The Bible doesn't say wait till tomorrow to get saved. No. When the Holy Spirit is drawing you now, now's the time. Don't listen to the voice of the enemy. Don't put off for tomorrow what needs to be a today decision. Here's my second closing. Last scripture. I promise. Proverbs 18:10. I had this scripture just resonating in my spirit today. It says this, the name of the Lord is, meaning when I call on the name of Jesus, when I cry out, Jesus, help me, Lord, save me, God, come to my rescue. When I call upon him, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. It's that beacon. It's that safety beacon in the desert. And when the righteous run to it, they're safe. They're safe. They're spiritually sound. They're led beside still waters. They're in green pastures. They have everything you have everything you need. Our God is your refuge. He's your strength. Jesus is your safety beacon tonight. He's everything you need tonight. Jesus is your salvation. Jesus is your rock. Jesus is your refuge. Jesus is your strength. Jesus is your safety. He is that rock to which you run to. He is your strong tower tonight. All you got to do is call upon the name of Jesus tonight. And I'm going to tell you, it'll be the best decision you've ever made in your life. Amen. Everybody stand. Everybody stand. God, I love you, Father. I give you praise, Lord. Come on, just lift up your hands for a moment. God, we love you, Father. God, we worship you, God. There's no one above you, God. There's no one beside you, God. You alone are worthy, God, and worthy to be praised. Listen, if you're here tonight with our hearts and our minds focused on Jesus, if you're going through something, listen, if you need salvation, you better not leave this place tonight until you know that you know that you know where your relationship with God stands. I don't want you to leave this house. I don't want you to leave this church tonight without you knowing that you have a relationship with God, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through a situation that is out of your hands, it's out of your control. I'm begging you, run to the only one that can save you. Run to the only one that is your real refuge, the only one that is a strong tower. Listen, I want to pray. And as soon as I pray, these altars are open. Altar team, come on up here.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message. Make sure to subscribe to stay up to date with our most recent episodes. To find out more, visit us at forwardchurchonline.com. There you can connect with us, learn more about our ministries, and submit any prayer requests you may have. We hope you join us again soon.